Good morning, everyone. It's really great to be visiting with you. Many of you I've seen before and met before, and nice to get to know some of you for the first time. Today, I was hoping to share with us something that I was struck by this week in my personal reading that I hope might be helpful to you as well. If you would turn with me, we'll start in Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And we'll begin reading with verse 15. And maybe as a catchphrase or something for this morning, something as a memory device. I don't often do that, but this was kind of, I like the irony of this one. Have you ever been told by someone to use your head? I actually hope that you have it, because I trust that all of you are pretty smart people. But you've probably heard it. And sadly, I think it's often used in a way that is really not complimentary, right? Find yourself doing something that somebody's like, aren't you thinking? You know, aren't you, just use your head. So we understand what that means in a natural sense. But what happens when we think of it as a believer? If someone were to say to you, use your head, what comes to mind, right? And so we'll think a little bit about that today. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 15, we'll just read a few verses there before going on to some verses in Colossians. Then went the Pharisees and held a council, how they might ensnare him in speaking. And they send out to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth, and carest not for anyone, for thou regardest not men's person. Tell us therefore what thou thinkest. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their wickedness, said, Why tempt ye me, hypocrites? Show me the money of the tribute. And they presented to him a denarius. And he says to them, Whose is this image and superscription? And they said to him, Caesar's. Then he says to them, Pay then what is Caesar's to Caesar, and what is God's to God. And when they heard him, they wondered, and left him and went away. And this is the story that I was reading this week, and just struck by the wisdom of the Lord Jesus in this moment. No one could be, you know, no one compares to the Lord Jesus when it comes to wisdom. But this is given to us, not only to show the glory of the Lord Jesus in wisdom, but for practical lessons. So how many times have you and I faced a situation like this? Probably many. And I'll give you some examples, not just in paying our taxes, which some of us do, and some of us probably haven't gotten to the ripe old age where you have to start doing that yet. Lucky you, we might say. But as I get older, my taxes get more complicated, and maybe you've experienced that too. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where we are put in situations to be entrapped. This is something that every believer faces, every single one of us. We live in a world today that is opposed to Christ. We live in the very world system that we live in, every part of it. Okay, there are these hidden things that are trying to ensnare the believer and keep us in it, to keep our thinking in this world and not beyond it. And in this example that we have, the people were going to take this heavenly man and try to bind him into something in this world, and that would be the trap. That he would say, okay, I'm acknowledging, you might say, he's acknowledging Caesar's rule over Jerusalem. Ah, we got you. Like, this is a, you know, you're saying that we should be paying our tribute to Caesar. You're acknowledging him as king or something like that, right? Or he says, don't pay it. And then what? Then he's opposed to Caesar and they could come and arrest him. See, the Lord Jesus is presented with this, what we call like a catch-22, right? Stuck between a rock and a hard place. How many decisions in your life have you faced where you feel like there's no way to resolve it? To either somebody's going to be hurt, or somebody's going to be disappointed, or I'm going to have to do something that I just don't really feel is right before the Lord, or the Lord seems to be asking me to do something that goes against what the law says. We face these kinds of situations, brethren, and I tell you, we're going to face them more and more as the world continues to go towards judgment. But the thing about this question is, when you read it, maybe the first time, if you think, I know many of you are believers here, I trust so, and you've probably heard this story before. It doesn't sound all that complicated, right? And that's exactly what happens to us today. It doesn't sound like there's anything wrong. We're saying, oh, of course you pay tribute to Caesar. Of course. Like, they live in a world where Caesar was the ruler. Of course we do what the world is doing today. That's usually our starting point. But as believers, we have another head, right? When we say, like I was challenging before, when I say to a believer, use your head, what am I talking about, right? And here, the Lord Jesus displays his ability to answer the question. But it's in a surprising way, I think, because it's surprising because it's not the way we might naturally answer the question. Does he give a straight answer? Well, yeah, but he doesn't tell them what they should do in a, like, what am I supposed to do in this moment with this money here? The Lord Jesus, in his wisdom, gives them the way to go and leaves them to do it themselves. Okay? This is how the wisdom of God works. And we'll see some verses about this. But when we go to Colossians chapter 1, we find that Christ, he is the head of the body. He is the head of the church, the assembly. And in that, we find not only as a metaphor for wisdom, but where everything that comes into the body for nourishment and everything comes from the head. So when we say to a Christian, use your head in this situation, I think the challenge is that we turn to Christ, that we turn to the Lord Jesus, that he is able to give an appropriate answer for every situation. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, just to refresh our memories, as I know many of you probably have read these things, in relation to what we're talking about. Colossians chapter 1. So we'll start reading in verse 3. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ continually when praying for you, having heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have towards all the saints, on account of the hope which is laid up for you in the heavens, of which he heard before in the word of the truth of the glad tidings which are come to you, as they are in all the world, and are bearing fruit, and are growing, even as also among you, from the day you heard them, and knew indeed the grace of God and truth, even as ye learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondman, who is a faithful minister of Christ for you, who has also manifested to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason we also, from the day we heard of your faith and love, do not cease praying and asking for you, and this to emphasize these things, to the end, that you may be filled with the full knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so as to walk worthy of the Lord unto all well-pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing by the true knowledge of God, and strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory, unto all endurance and long-suffering with joy. Just that far for now. But the verse that I was quoting before comes a little later in verse 16, or verse 18, excuse me. And he is the head of the body, the assembly, who is the beginning, firstborn from among the dead, that he might have the first place in all things, and so on. But with special emphasis in relation to the subject today, to the end, verse 9, to the end that ye may be filled with the full knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This is the prayer, was the prayer of the Apostle Paul, yes, specifically, directly for the Colossians. But this is the mind of God for us as believers, that there is a work that God is doing right now to bring us into the full knowledge of God. As a believer, brethren, we have nothing that is inhibiting us from entering into the full knowledge of God's will today, as far as God is concerned. So what prevents me then? Well, it prevents me almost in the way of a hurdle, but it could only be myself. Because God's intention for us is to bring us all into an understanding of his will, every one of us. And today is that day when that journey begins. It begins again every single day. So it's not like we're waiting for that to happen, though we can, right? But we are right now able, by the power of God, to enter into the mind of God and all the wisdom of God. And so the wisdom that the Lord Jesus there exhibited when he was challenged in this way, that is something that you and I, and that is a resource that we can turn to, that God has given us the ability to do this. But it's not just for knowledge's sake, or for wisdom's sake, or even just so that I can stand before God and say to him, I know you, which is an incredible relationship. I mean that not in a prideful way, but when you are in a relationship with someone, that you're trying to get to know them, right? Like we are right now. You listening to me speak, I find out about what you do in your everyday life. It's an amazing thing that God has made possible, that we can know him. But that's not just the purpose, but that we may grow and that we may bear fruit, that we would walk worthy of the Lord into all well-pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing by the true knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory, unto all endurance and long-suffering with joy. We as believers are not unfamiliar with the fact that a Christian life is a life of suffering. A Christian life is a life of denying certain things in this world. It is one that sometimes does not seem full of joy because everything around us is against us. And whether sometimes it doesn't feel like it, like we've been talking about, but sometimes it surely does, doesn't it? But you and I, we cannot truly walk worthy of the Lord without this knowledge and understanding. But let me tell you, we try. We really do. Because we still have this part of us, this flesh within us, as long as we're here in this world, as long as we're alive today, we still have this old nature that wants nothing more than to exalt itself, that wants nothing more than to fit in with the things around us. Actually, it doesn't want to fit in. Let me correct that. It wants to be the best. It wants to be acknowledged in its life today. Okay? In our lives today, we want to be acknowledged. You know, the Lord Jesus, what did he say to the people that were sent from the Pharisees? He said, hypocrites. Because what they were saying, what they were trying to do is show that they know more than the Lord. And this is a sham. They could never. That's what it is to be a hypocrite, to be acting like you're something that you're not. And so the Lord is able to call them out on it. But let me tell you today, you and I, we have this tendency to act like we are something we're not too, all the time. We act like we're not part of the kingdom of the Son of his love, which is what we have in Colossians. We act like we're still in the kingdom of darkness, because that's what this world is. We act like everything that matters to us is here in this world. How much of our time and energy gets sucked into things that are not going to glory with us? How much of our time and energy? And I say this like there is necessity, yes. But the world around us is built on this idea that we're going to be moving, quote, forward in our life, right? We do things in life. We grow in our careers. We grow in our schooling. We grow in our marriages and our relationships, or outside of them, may the Lord prevent it. But there's so much that the world puts before us as what we should be doing. And without the wisdom that God is offering to us today, we will get ensnared. So if we are to walk worthy of him, we have to get to know him. It's not the other way around. We have to have our minds, as Romans tells us, transformed. Because the mind that we come into this world with, that means our thinking, our desires, the things that we are going after. When we build a plan to get from point A to point B, we do it by thinking through things. The using your head, like you might have heard somebody say, use your head. What are they saying? You should have thought of this, right? You should have thought of where you're going. And as a believer, we need to think. We can't just put aside our thinking and live our lives the way that everybody tells us to live. And let me tell you, it's not just the world that wants to tell you how to live. The believing company wants to tell us how to live. And it is only the mind of the Lord that can help us understand what's right and what's not. Because guess what? I have fallen into this trap. Maybe you have before too. Where I want to be a Christian and seen as a Christian. You say, but maybe you don't realize the sort of irony of that. Because it is not, I want to be associated with those that are X or Y. Instead of the one who is all in all. You know, the believer, I don't know in Scripture if we find that a believer is ever to be trying to be identified as a Christian, like that is an effort put forward, that you should say, you should try to look like a Christian. But we are to look like Christ, that we are to be godly. And this requires real wisdom today, because there's a lot out there that is not godly. Think of the Lord Jesus' situation again. He came into this world under the law, was still at work when he was there, that was the highest authority, the Jewish law. And he had to live his life where that was the sway of things for the religious world. And he did it perfectly, okay? But he had a greater purpose because he could see the purposes of God. The mind of God was taking him to the cross. And not one person knew that they weren't willing to agree with him on that. When it says he would go to Jerusalem and Peter would stop and rebuke him, somebody who was clearly close to him, the Lord Jesus was not swayed by the Jewish company that he was a part of. He had his mind on things above. He had his mind on, it was perfectly aligned with the thoughts of God. And we need to challenge ourselves today, brothers and sisters. Are we turning to our head and doing everything that is in line with who he is and drawing the wisdom and the knowledge of who he is so that we can conduct ourselves in a way that's worthy of him? Or are we doing it just because we think it's right? Just because we look around and we see people that are other believers doing this and therefore it must be right, right? No, not so. We have to look to the one who gives us real wisdom for our life today. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters in Christ, this wisdom is powerful because it answers those tough questions. But it's not in the way that the world would teach us to answer questions. And let me just to emphasize this a little bit. In the example of the Lord, when he says, give unto Caesar the things that are Caesar and give unto God the things that are God's. Did that tell the Herodians what they should do about whether they should pay their taxes? Yes. But see, they didn't. The Lord knew that they were not seeking to do what was right before him. The Lord knew that they were not seeking to do what is right before God. They were seeking something for themselves. And so the answer is, guess what? You don't know. You don't know what to do. And he told them, your answer is you don't know what to do. That's the answer. Because your mind is not in the right place. It wasn't aligned with God's thought, right? Because if it was, then they're faced with the scenario, but here's how the Lord answers it to us. When we're faced with the situation, the answer and the instruction of the Lord is, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's. And when we're sitting in front of the things that we need to do today, if we take this simple judgment for ourselves, and we allow ourselves to stand here and weigh what is God's and what is Caesar's, we will know. We will know. And we can choose. But we need to take it every single step of the way. This is the wisdom of the Lord Jesus. He did not give them a rule. He did not give them a rule. And as a believer, what is our tendency to do? Lord, I want to know what's right. I want to know it. I want to list it out. I want it so that I don't have to think. That's the answer. The believer needs to be thinking. We need to be constantly before the Lord and use the beautiful mind that God has created for his purposes. And we need to submit it to him. And he will give us the wisdom, all understanding, and then we will know how to please him. So let's not be entrapped by these ideas that we need to live X or Y or the certain way or the other. It happens in every aspect of life. And it happens in even, you know, in the ways that we gather in ourselves, sadly. And this is just the subtlety of the things that we face. This morning, I was trying at, you know, early, just after dawn, try to figure out what I was going to wear today. And I was asking Margaret, I'm like, is this jacket okay? Does it go with my outfit, right? You know, it's funny because I work from home and I don't wear a jacket very often anymore. And that's part of the problem. But, you know, to come together this morning, do I ask myself, why am I wearing a jacket? Well, everybody has their answer. Why are you dressed the way that you are? I trust it's because you've done this measure of giving to the Lord what is the Lord's and giving to Caesar what is Caesar's. And you've sat there and thought for a moment. Not, I don't mean every morning when you get up, you sit and do this. I mean, we have lives, but that you've actually taken into account the things of the day and whether I'm doing them for some other reason than for the Lord himself. Because every other reason is not the right one, right? So when we come together, and I'll just give you my reason here. For one, I don't want, now I've drawn attention to myself. That was one of the problems. No, but I mean, it's, you know, to be in a place where, you know, I'm coming to meet the Lord and I want to do something for him and I respect him as a person. And I want to show that in my dress. Now, maybe you feel like you know the Lord comfortably and I don't think he really is going to care one way or the other, honestly. I mean, he's giving us new clothes anyway when we're with him, right? But in another culture, I might not have worn a jacket, right? 30 years ago, I probably wouldn't have been up here without having taken off my hat before I walked in here. Maybe that's more like 80 years ago. But you know what, you see what I mean? I mean, everything that we do has been influenced by this world that we live in. The fact that I wear a suit and tie to go to something means something to people. And that's exactly what I'm talking about when we talk about the subtlety of the world that we live in, that it influences even the things that I wear, right? The type of food that I eat. And this is where the Lord has offered us wisdom, has offered us understanding if we look to our head. If we look to our head and we acknowledge him. Now, the other aspect of the head, which we know, is the one who is not just guides the body, not the one through whom we receive nourishment, like our food and drink, but the metaphor as well is the one who is over all things. And we have been, as it says in Colossians, today, brethren, we live in a position where we have been translated from the power of darkness to the kingdom of the Son of his love. This is a blessed, wonderful place, but he has authority. It is a great place. He is the loving authority. It is the Son of his love, as it says in Colossians. Beautiful place. But if we seek to honor him, we need to submit everything to him. And he will give us what we need to know today or what we need to know tomorrow. And when these situations come into our lives that, man, they seem tough, and trust me, they do. I know. They seem really tough. And we can take a moment as a believer. We trust in this one who is our head. And we take these things that we sometimes take for granted, or maybe we're struggling, both situations, take them to our head. Use your head. You will receive what you need. And this is the kind of wisdom that is available to us. So I trust that the Lord will help us in these things and in these difficult times that we live in, that we may learn how to honor him, to live worthy of him, as we get to know him better, for his name's sake.